Christians will say the resurrection is true. And people might say, you mean that story that was just read, like they go to the empty tomb and that John the disciple believed that somehow Jesus had raised from the, he was dead? Am I clear on he was dead, but then something happened and he was raised from the dead? Do you believe that's true? The Christians will say, yeah, I do. It's true. And people say, well, unpack that for me in some way. Like, tell me what that actually means. Like, what does it mean to say that Jesus is alive? And I want to give you an answer to that question that is still so simple. And it's so simple and easy to understand. And I think after you get the answer to that question, is resurrection true? You can just stand back and you'll see resurrection's true. I get it now. Because I know what it's like on Easter Sunday morning. Like, you look at the empty tomb, and it's a great narrative. And man, there's so much mystery, and sometimes we have questions, and like, what does it mean? Like, is it literal? Is it historical? And we have all, and I just want to give you a simple answer to that question, is resurrection true, so that you can walk away, take something with you home. Yeah, I get it. I get it. I get resurrection, and it's true. Here's one verse I'm going to just focus on. The truth will set you free. This is from the Gospel of John. Same John that wrote that Easter narrative that Linda read. This is John chapter 8. The truth will set you free. Some of you thought it was Spike Lee that first said that. No, it wasn't Spike Lee that first said that. And some of you have heard Kanye West singing those lines. That was a couple of years ago. It wasn't Kanye West that said those words first. These are Jesus' words. John is quoting Jesus. And Jesus said, you'll find the truth in me, and that truth will set you free. Is resurrection true? Christians will say, yeah, I just want to show you the simplest thing. It's so simple. And you can go home and you can take that with you. Life is all about sifting through claims to be true. That's just part of life. We raise children as parents to try to latch on to what's true and just to beware of what's not true. Do you remember the first time you left home? I was 19. I went to Edmonton looking for a job. I had no money. My brother lived in a little condo. He moved out. I stayed there, but I had no money. And for a week, I ate peanut butter. I had this mass, Costco had nothing on this jar of peanut butter in my head. Like, it was huge, and I just ate peanut butter because I had no money. And man, what a truth I woke up to. So this is what it's like living away from home. Having to pay for everything, not having anyone to cook meals. That was just a huge truth I woke up to. Sifting through claims of truth is just part of life. Politicians argue conservative viewpoints against liberal viewpoints. Conservatives talk about climate change differently than liberals, which one is true. The first time I started to see that the Western presence in the Middle East had something to do with oil, and I didn't even know, I just felt so naive. Is that why they're there? I thought they were there because they were just trying to, you know, help. Claims to be true. That's what life is. There was an article in the Globe. One parent at home makes for better adjusted kids. True or false? Talk amongst yourselves. No. Connor McDavid traded to the Maple Leafs. No, I just made that up. Don't get your phones out to check that. I made that one up. It's definitely not true. Is the resurrection true? Is it? Christians will say it is. You believe that? That story you just heard? Yeah. And you know what? It's not nearly as mysterious as you think it is. Yes, there's an element of mystery about it that we embrace. The dead coming back to life. But there's this other part of it that is, it's not mysterious, it's just simple. And you can walk away going, I get that now. Here's a classic example in our culture of a claim to truth. Money brings happiness. You heard that one before? People kind of roll their eyes, yeah, money brings, I don't really believe that. But it's amazing how much time we all invest in making sure we have enough of it, or even a lot of it. Invest a lot of time in that, considering we don't believe it. And then today, it's so easy to be exposed to so many different viewpoints, isn't it? Because we have social media now. Like, we're bombarded with truths that come from all around the world now. battle, and we're sifting through those, and we're trying to discern which of those truths are real. Like back in the day, even 20, 30 years ago, we were so much more parochial, and you could just believe what you wanted to believe, and no one challenged it. But now we have all these different truths coming at us. Throw religion into the mix. I mean, on my news feed, I get stuff about what Buddha believes and what Islam believes and what Jehovah's Witness believe, what humanists believe, what atheists believe. That scene where Jesus is standing in front of Pontius Pilate. It's part of the Passion story. And Pilate is just caught in the middle of this squabble. Pilate doesn't want Jesus to be crucified. And Pilate's just trying to give Jesus a way out. And Pilate's like, look, all you have to do, Jesus, is say you're not the Messiah. That's all you have to do. End of story. You're free. And so he says, are you a king? This is what Nolan read a minute ago. Pilate says, are you a king? He says, yeah, I am a king. And Pilate's like, oh, wrong answer. And then Jesus says, but my kingdom is not of this world. And I've come to testify to that truth. And then Pilate asks the question that is timeless. And it's one of the deepest human questions anybody could ever ask. And that question is, what is truth? Jesus, you're telling me you have the truth? So here we are, Easter Sunday. What's the truth of Easter? And it will amaze you how simple it is. Well, when it comes to what's true and what's not true, Jesus was always full of surprises, wasn't he? Jesus kind of consistently turned things upside down, so things we thought we were true aren't true at all. That's Jesus just did that his whole life, his whole teaching. He said things like, those who are willing to lose their lives will gain their lives. And we're like, Jesus, that's opposite of what I believe. It's kind of, you're backwards, Jesus. Jesus said, it's better to give than to receive. And we're like, no. It's opposite. Look, I might be a little out of place here, Jesus, but I think you're confusing the issue. Jesus turned things upside down all the time. At the center of the Sermon on the Mount, which is his definitive teaching, there's this section called the Beatitudes. And Jesus in the Beatitudes says, my truth is different than the truth of the world. And Jesus said, blessed are the poor. Jesus, I just don't want to pick a bone with you right now, but I think you got that wrong. Blessed are the poor. And then he says, blessed are the pure in heart. And we're like, I raised my kids to be clever and ambitious. Blessed are the gentle. It may not be my place, Jesus, but you're backwards. It's everything's upside down. And Jesus says, I'm giving you a new dictionary to use. I want to give you new definitions of words you thought you knew the meaning of. I want to give you a new definition of the word power. You think power's here, power's really over here. I want to give you a new definition of the word family. You think family's here, family's actually here. And Jesus just turns everything upside down. And he says, this is my truth. And we're like, what's the truth of Easter? What's the truth of resurrection? The dead being raised unto a whole new life? And Paul says in the Bible, if it's not true, then we are to be pitied above all people. I think people wonder in a general sense, are the stories in the Bible true? You know you do. I mean, was there really an Adam and Eve? Is that true? Did Noah really build an ark? Is that true? We've all thought about it. There was a guy in Denmark that built an ark, didn't he? See the picture of the ark? Took the specs out of the Hebrew scriptures, built an ark. Because he wanted to prove it was true. And you can go into that ark, it's like a museum, you can walk around and go, wow, it's really true, look at this ark. Did Moses part the Red Sea? How did that happen? Did a stairway from heaven come down to Jacob when he was all alone in the wilderness? An angel, the chorus of angels come down to Jacob and tell him that God loved him? Is that true? Is the rapture true? That day when people are drawn up to meet Jesus and he meets them halfway in the clouds, that's what Paul describes, the rapture, is that true? Are you kidding me? What about Jesus walking on the water? That's a cool story, but did it happen? We've all wondered. And today, Jesus rises from the dead. There are stories and teachings in the Bible. And for so many of them, we don't know exactly how it all went down. And maybe if you're like me, you just wonder. You wonder what it was like being with those three, Mary, Peter, and John at the empty tomb. But you can't be sure. You know the story. You have the narrative. And oftentimes we can't be sure whether or not a story is historical. People argue whether or not something is historical or whether or not something is literal. What we can be sure of is this. There is a truth that comes out of each of those stories, regardless of how you might look at the story. There's a truth that rises up out of those stories. For instance, I don't know if there was an Adam and Eve, like in a literal sense. Maybe there was. I don't know. But here's what I know. I know that God created humankind to live in paradise. That's what God wants for us. And I know that God gave each one of us free will so that we could make up our own decisions and so that we could do things that God didn't want us to do. God made us free so that we could choose God or not choose God. And sometimes that disrupts the paradise. That's the truth. I don't know how Moses parted the Red Sea, but I do know that God hears the cries of the oppressed. Israel cried out to God because they were kept slaves, and God heard their cries, and God delivered them. And it's good news for us. If you're oppressed today, if there's something that is oppressing you, you cry out to God, and God will hear you. That's the promise. That's the truth of that story. God will deliver you. It's a beautiful thing. I don't know if a stairway from heaven came down to Jacob when Jacob had made so many mistakes, and he had dug his own hole, and now he's in the wilderness, and he had nothing, and he lays his head on a rock in the middle of nowhere, and he cries out to God, and a stairway from heaven comes down, and angels came down, and I don't know how all that happened, but I know when you make mistakes, and you end up in the hole that you dug for yourself, and if you call out for God, he'll come to you. That's the truth of that story. Was Jesus raised from the dead? I don't know how it all went down, but here's what we know. I want to give you the truth of the resurrection. I'm going to give you, it's two parts. I'm going to give you the first part, and then I'm going to give you the second part. And the second part's the part that's just so simple, and you're going to take it away, and you're going to remember it for the rest of your life. Here's the first part. The end of this life is not the end of life. The end of this life, we walk through some kind of an opening, a passage, a doorway into a life that we were created to live forever. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, I know it's hard to conceive of. I know. But if you just look out at the world of nature in the spring, this is Paul talking, look at the gardens, look at the way the world of nature is resurrected every spring after a long, cold winter where everything's dead and frozen, and now everything's alive again, and things just have new bodies. And we all believe that, and Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 said, if God loves the world of nature that much to resurrect it every spring, what more will God do for you? And Paul's like, it's logical. Believe in the life hereafter. Now here's the second part of the meaning of Easter. And Jesus talked a lot more about this second part than he ever talked about everlasting life in heaven. Jesus talked about resurrection happening today, now, in this life. And this is so simple to see. And here it is. Resurrection happens today in this life. This afternoon. This evening at home. Resurrection happens when love is shared. When someone lonely is isolated and has no friends, and then they're brought into some kind of a circle that is community and friendship and belonging and solidarity and sisterhood and brotherhood, do you know what a difference that makes in the life of that person? And they will say, I've just been, it's just a whole new life. If somebody is raising children and they don't have enough money for their kids, and then someone says, you know what, I love this family and I'm going to help them with money, and they give that family money to do the things they need to do with their children, do you know what effect that has on that family? I was dead before, now I'm alive. That's resurrection. You see how simple? Like we do Christmas hampers here. Lots of churches do Christmas hampers. And one of the best things ever is to deliver hampers to a house or to an apartment. And you go there with your box, and someone opens the door, and you give them the box, and they smile, and they say, "You have made my Christmas." That's what resurrection is. If you've ever made a mistake and had the person that you did a wrongdoing to forgive you, like if you've ever hurt someone and every time you see that person, you're just afraid to look at them, you're afraid to talk to them, and then you finally have to have an encounter with that person, then they come up to you and they say, "It's done, it's finished, clean slate, let's just live our lives." I don't know if you've ever had that happen to you. I have. It's resurrection. And when someone who feels worthless, someone who just doesn't feel like they're any good for anything, when they're told that they're made in the image of God, that they're a child of the King, that they're wonderfully and fearfully knit together in their mother's womb by the hands of God, and that God has a plan for their lives that is just beyond what they could ever imagine for themselves, and that God loves them so much, and if they hear those words and believe those words, they're resurrected, and it could happen this afternoon. Whole new life. That's Easter. Look, Jesus wants you to know about heaven, but that's what Jesus lived and taught. That was his bread and butter. Last thing, this is huge. We're not on our own. As we sift through various claims to be true, we're not on our own. The first thing that we have is each other. And Jesus built a community. That's why I know you belong to different communities where you have friends. The church is a community where we have friends and we're there for each other. And Jesus said, love each other. He built 12 disciples. Now that's just part of what he had. He had a lot more people, but this is a community. And Jesus said, love each other. If you love each other, you will be strong together. And you will find truth together. And you will help each other. And the second thing is prayer. You're not on your own as you're looking for truth. Jesus modeled a life of prayer. And Jesus modeled this prayer that says, look, all it is just remembering who God is in your life. And remembering there's a bigger picture. When you're feeling like so small and your problems are so huge, go to prayer and remember that there's a bigger picture. That God is huge. I don't know what the plan is yet, but there's a plan for your life. Just let God take it. Last thing, we're not alone. That's heaven, sorry. That's okay, we'll finish with that. Here's what Jesus said. When he, the Holy Spirit, comes, this is John 16, he will guide you into the truth. Like, there is a presence with us. There is a presence that's not just a little bit of God, it's not just a shadow, it's not just a glimpse of divinity. The presence with us that is here now in this room is the fullness of God. Jesus said, I leave you with the Spirit, and the Spirit will guide you into truth. And if you're just wondering how does that work, all I can say is just ask for that help. Ask for that help. Jesus said, like, God's like a parent. Like, you look at your son or your daughter, and if they need help from you, of course you would help them. And Jesus is like, God is like the perfect parent. Don't you think God would give you what you need if you ask for help? It's a good thing to hear the words, the truth will set you free. It's even better to experience that freedom. Christ is risen. Resurrection is true. It's true. Now and forevermore.